Good morning. The reading for today is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. May God bless the reading of the word.
Amen. Thank you, Lynette. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, would you open with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17? I just want that to be something we visualize for a while this morning. That message, that truth, that encouragement. And I'll keep it up on the board this morning. But we're concluding our series this morning on the resurrection power. And the final message this week is on the power of transformation. The power of transformation. I'm going to get a little bit further into that in just a minute. But before I do, I'd like to share a story with you about a gentleman. There was a Protestant man who was the only one in his neighborhood. The rest of the neighborhood was all Catholic. And so every Lent, that first Friday for Lent, what he would do is he'd be outside frying up a steak. And everybody else would be smelling it, all of his Catholic neighbors, and they'd always be so frustrated by the temptation of smelling this steak on a Friday. So finally they decided, we need to convert him. And so they started ministering to him, and finally he said, okay, I'll be converted. And so the priest comes, and the priest sprinkles water on him, and he says, you were born a Baptist, you were raised a Baptist, and now you're a Catholic. Well, a year later, Lent comes around again, and that Friday, they're smelling the same steak smell. And so they rush over to his house, and here he is. He's sprinkling water on the steak, and he says, you were born a cow, you were raised a cow, and now you're a fish. All right, well, good morning. I'm glad we're awake. I'm excited this morning as we close out this series called The Resurrection Power. And I want to just give a brief overview. If you have not had a chance to watch the other two messages on the cross and forgiveness, I encourage you to go back and check it out because they connect to the message today, and it's important. And God has been so good to this congregation that we stream this live. We are now streaming it on YouTube as well. So we've made it not convenient not to be at church, but convenient for those who can't be here, okay? But I encourage you to go back and just listen to those messages, because I'm only going to give you a brief overview. But we started with the message on the cross. Now, many call the cross foolishness. They think of the idea of this as just being a good man who died for no good reason. It was meaningless. He died on a tree for nothing. But we know that that's not true. The cross is God's wisdom. It's our hope. And as we discussed a couple weeks ago, it is not a meaningless death at the cross. It was an essential moment in history that brought us hope. It brought us the promise that the resurrected Lord fulfilled for us. The fact that the wrath of God literally was poured out on the cross so that those who receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there's no wrath left for you today. That's encouraging. That's hope. That's power. In fact, he who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen? Amen. The cross was meant to be shame and humiliation. Those who were crucified were shamed. They were humiliated. They were criminals, except Jesus. Except Jesus. But our faith has turned the cross into hope and beauty. And I'll never look at the cross the same again, because my sins have been nailed to that cross. And if you believe that this morning, your sins have been nailed to the cross as well. That's powerful. Then last week we talked about the forgiveness of sin. We discussed that Hebrew word, right, chadeth. And that Greek word, harmatia, which means to fall short or to error. or to miss the mark. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 3:21, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know that we all fall under that umbrella. We have all fallen short. None of us can live up to that expectation of God, his perfect expectation and the perfect law. So the cross brought us forgiveness. Forgiveness came to us. His actions at the cross paid our sin debt, and it freed us from the bondage of sin. Say, I am free.
I am free.
Amen. You are free. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, today you live free from the bondage of sin. And that's encouraging. That was a powerful moment in history in which humanity experienced the love of God that came down and covered our sins, saved us. That's powerful. And it has forever changed our future. I'm going to share a story with you this morning. And if you were in the first service, I was already informed the story was so good that it just won't be the same because you'll never forget it. But I'm going to share this story with the rest of you because it'll be the first time you heard it, I hope. So I heard a story about a father. He was out in the woods with his son. And as they were out in the woods, this bee started hovering around his son. Well, his son was deathly allergic to bees. So the father, recognizing this, he went and snatched the bee out of the sky. And he held it in his hand. And it stung him. And then he let it go. His son, paranoid about it, said, Dad, why would you let go of that bee? I'm allergic. Deathly allergic. And his dad leaned in and he showed him his hand. And he said, Son, here's the stinger. That bee has no sting left in it. You don't have to be afraid anymore. Amen?
Amen?
That is precisely what Jesus Christ did for us when he brought forgiveness through his death. He took away the sting of death. That's powerful. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55 through 57 says, Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is a law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm going to go back for a second. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. As I was preparing this message, I thought about a pastor who Tammy and I sat under for a short period of time before we got stationed in the arsenal. We were stationed in North Carolina for 3 years, and we started going to this church. We grew dramatically in our faith. We loved it. And he was an amazing, amazing pastor. But his story was even more amazing. You see, he wasn't always a pastor. He actually used to be an auto salesman and a drunk. And whenever anyone would come to his door to try and share the gospel with him, he'd slam the door on their face, thinking, I don't want what you're selling. I'm a salesman myself. I know you're trying to sell me something. Not interested. And he'd slam the door on their face until one day his son became deathly ill, his 5-year-old boy, and he died. He was broken. He was lost. He was hopeless. And then all of a sudden, one day, a couple comes up to his house to pray over him. And this day, he decided to keep the door open and listen to what they had to say. And he received Jesus Christ after hearing the gospel message, and it changed his life. He explained to us one Sunday, he said he remembers when he first walked out of his house. After receiving Christ, all of a sudden, everything looked different to him. The flowers were more beautiful than they'd ever been before. The grass, the trees, all of it seemed like he was looking at it through a new lens, almost as if he was a new creation. He experienced that change, that transformation that the Apostle Paul is talking about. Now, many of you might know who the Apostle Paul is, and he's written quite a bit about transformation, and he has the authority to do so. Because you see, the Apostle Paul used to be Saul. He used to be the one who was persecuting Christians, trying to get them imprisoned or beaten, until the road of Damascus, when the Lord appeared before him and blinded him. And all of a sudden he realized Jesus is the real deal. And he changed at that moment. His life was transformed. And he became one of the greatest writers of the New Testament for us. He became an evangelizer, planting churches. The guy who was persecuting Christians became a Christian and started ministering to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a transformation. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says this, and this is the Apostle Paul who penned this. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Friends, there is a transformation that has taken place for those who have called Jesus their Lord and Savior. Many of you have experienced that transformation when you heard the gospel and it changed your life. We were born with a sin nature. On our own, we have no ability to live righteously before God or to please him. But there is the good news of the gospel. He did not leave us in our hopeless state. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and was raised from the dead on the third day, conquering sin and death once and for all. As I was preparing for this Holy Week and looking back at it, I remember Monday, Thursday, we had a service here. And just in case you're wondering, we weren't washing anyone's feet. I know that history believes that Monday, Thursday was the day in which Jesus was washing his disciples' feet. There was no feet washing, but we had a great, great celebration here and a reminder of what was to come. But then Friday, I got a text from someone in our congregation who had identified and recognized something pretty unique and significant to him, and I think it was significant for me as well. See, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that beautiful sunny day all of a sudden became really overcast. Did you notice that? I texted him back and I said, it's almost as if the Lord just said on the cross, it is finished. And then came Saturday. The silence. The silence. Can you imagine the disciples of Jesus Christ, the one that they are following, the one that they believe is the King? He's dead and gone. And they're hopeless. And they're experiencing that silence. But friends, what Jesus did at the cross is he took on the silence of God so that we never have to. He did that for us. And that's why we're here to worship today, because he is risen. All right. I preached 2 sermons this morning. Why are you tired? He is risen indeed. Yes. It's through his death and resurrection that Jesus has provided a way for us to be reconciled to God and have eternal life in him. When we accept that gift, that free gift of salvation through faith, it's as if the old self has been crucified with Christ and we're made new in him. That's the good news of the gospel today, that we are made right with God through our belief in Jesus Christ. There is power and the transformation that God is doing in each one of us who've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And that power comes because there was a resurrection that took place. Amen? Amen. Let me share with you this morning, Luke chapter 24, verse 1 through 6. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly 2 men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. "He's not here, but he has been resurrected." I'd like to share a story with you. A story about little Philip. He was born with Down syndrome. He attended a 3rd grade Sunday school class with several 8-year-old boys and girls. Typical of that age, the children did not readily accept Philip because of his differences, according to an article that was written in Leadership magazine. But because of a creative teacher, they began to care about Philip. And they began to accept him as part of the group, though not fully. The Sunday after Easter, the teacher brought these eggs pantyhose containers that looked like those large eggs. And she said, each of them receiving one of these, she told the children, you're to go outside on this lovely spring day and find some symbol of new life and put it in this egg-like container. Then back in the classroom, they would share their new life symbols, opening the containers one by one in surprise fashion. After running about the church property in wild confusion, like kids do, they brought their containers back in, and they set them at the teacher's table. Surrounded by the children, the teacher began to open them one by one. After each one, whether a flower or a butterfly or a leaf or a blade of grass, they would ooh and ah. Then one was opened, revealing there was nothing inside. The children exclaimed, that's stupid. That's not fair. Somebody didn't do their assignment. Philip spoke up. That's mine. Philip, you don't ever do anything right, the student retorted. There's nothing there. I did so do it, Philip insisted. I did do it. It's empty. The tomb was empty. Silence followed. From then on, Philip became a full member of the class. He died not long after that from an infection that most normal children would have shrugged off. At the funeral, this class of 8-year-olds marched up to the altar, not with flowers, but with their Sunday school teacher, each to lay on it an empty pantyhose egg. My friends, that boy believed in the resurrection, that it was real. And he showed his faith to that class, challenging the thinking of his own peers. His life was transformed by the gospel, by the resurrection of our living Lord. That transformation comes from belief, friends. What do you believe today? Has Jesus died for you on the cross, covering your sins by his death, bringing forgiveness to your life? Was he raised from the dead, giving us victory and removing the sting of death? Or is it just a story that people like to tell on Easter? Little Philip was convinced that it's real, and it changed his life. Just like that good news has changed my life. I'd like our deacons this morning to hand something out to you from the church as a reminder. As they do, just bear with me and pay attention. I can personally attest to the power of the gospel in my own life. Before I knew Christ, I was a dead man. I was in darkness and in bondage to my sin and my own selfish desires. But when I heard and believed the good news of the gospel, everything changed. I was no longer a slave to sin, but a child of God. I now have a purpose and a hope that goes beyond this earthly life. And it's all because I've been crucified with Christ, and he now lives in me, like the Apostle Paul had said. I've experienced the freedom and the joy that comes from living by faith in the Son of God. If you also believe that, then you're a bearer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This morning, this card that's being given to you, it's to remind you of something, that God loves you, but also to remind you of what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. You, if you believe that today, you are a bearer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Put this in your wallet. Or if you got the bookmark, because I bought all the wallet ones and ran out and had to buy bookmarks, put it in a book that you read often. Let's hope it's the Bible. Put it somewhere where it will remind you. You carry the gospel with you. The hope that is in you is the message the rest of this world needs. Amen? If you've not yet experienced that transformation in your life, I urge you to take hold of the good news of the gospel today. Jesus is standing and waiting for you, ready to forgive your sins and to give you new life in him. It doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been, who you are. His love and grace is sufficient and will cover all your sins. The tomb, my friends, is empty. And the Lord, our Savior, is alive. And he works in all who believe in him, transforming our lives every day. That, my friends, is the power of the resurrection. That is the hope that we have today. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. All right. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and for your good news, the gospel that is our hope and our promise. And I thank you that you are making us new, new creations in Christ Jesus, giving us new purpose, new hope, a new identity. Lord, someone here today needed to hear that. They have a new identity in Jesus Christ. Father, help us to always remember that and to live it out in our new life. Let us carry the gospel. And Father, I pray for those who might be searching for meaning and hope right now, that today would be the day that they encounter Jesus and that the gospel would change their lives from the inside out. Let them accept your love and your invitation today. I pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Mike is going to close us in a hymn. And I'd ask you to rise for the benediction. My beautiful wife, Tammy, is going to